for something and you just cannot find it. Like, doesn't matter where you look, you're high, low, everywhere, and it's just gone. That happened to me all the time when I was still living at home. Didn't matter what it was. Could be shoes, could be wallet, could be my homework, could be whatever. Just I couldn't find it. Here's what always, like, dread the moment where I had to ask for help. Because here's what inevitably would happen. Like, I'm looking for my wallet, and it is nowhere on this table. It does not exist. And I'll say, hey, Mom, have you seen my wallet? And she goes, yeah, it's on the table. And I'm like, no, it's not. And she does this. You mean this wallet? It's like it just magically appeared. Like, no, that. And then she would hit me with this line. And I hate this line because it reminds me how blind I am. If it was a snake, it would have bit you. I still cringe when I hear that line. There's a time in the Bible when somebody doesn't understand what's right in front of them. They actually don't see God right in front of them. They're literally talking to Jesus, and they don't recognize him. So we're going to take a look at that tonight. It's in John chapter 20. You can turn there with me. The references are going to be on the screen, but not the words, because tonight we're going to do something a little different. It's on page 906 if you're in one of these Bibles. And before we jump into it, I want to back up and give us some context to what's happening, because we're jumping in at the end of the book of John in chapter 20. So this moment is happening right after Jesus has died. And Jesus had been teaching, he'd been living, he'd been healing people, he'd been gathering followers. People were starting to think, like, oh, maybe this is God's chosen one. We've talked about these titles before, Christ and Messiah, and how they're pointing to God's chosen one who's going to bring God's goodness and love into the world. People are starting to be like, is this the guy? Like, I think this might be the guy. And then he's arrested, and then he's sentenced to death, and then he's executed on a cross. Everything falls apart. And he's laid, after he has died, he's laid in a tomb. A tomb is kind of like this cave carved into a side of a rock. And there's like a bed platform for the dead body to be on. And then a giant stone is rolled to seal it. And 3 days later, one of his followers named Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb. Now, we're going to read kind of the whole story of her showing up at the tomb from verse 1 to 18, but we're really going to zoom in on the second half. So listen to this. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, to the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Quick side note, that other disciple whom Jesus loved, yeah, his name is John. He's the guy who wrote the book. Like, could you imagine, like, hey, Peter, I'm going to include this in my book so people 2,000 years from now know that I'm faster than you. Just, I find that hilarious. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen clothes lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up and placed by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Now this is the part where we're going to focus on tonight, verses 11 through 18. And as we read, I want you to do something. We've done this before, but I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to try and picture yourself in the story. Picture yourself there with Mary. What do you see? What do you hear? What are you observing? What do you think she's feeling as we move through the story? Can you try and feel those emotions with her? Who does she encounter? But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. I want you to take a minute and just write down one or two things that stood out to you as we read. What did you observe in that story? Take another 30 seconds to finish out your thought. Have you ever had a moment where something felt like it completely fell apart for you? Maybe a friendship ended. You were betrayed by somebody. Maybe there's conflict in your life, whether it's between you and a sibling, or your siblings are fighting, or your friends are fighting. Maybe your parents are fighting. Or maybe somebody's sick in your life. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Or maybe you're just looking at the world and you see how broken it is. You're looking around at the community around us and you see people without homes. You're looking at what's happening in with our nation's politics and you see this division and hate. There's wars going on. There's people treating other people like they're not human. It feels like the world is full of chaos. And moments like this might not feel as big as what Mary is experiencing. Maybe they feel a bit bigger, but they're still real and heavy. We can understand the feeling of hopelessness, of confusion. We're grieving what is happening. Mary is standing in that moment. She's weeping. Her whole world was just flipped upside down. She had gone, in the course of a week, had gone from following who she thought was God's chosen one. There was even this giant parade of people acknowledging that. And then 3 days ago, she finds out he's been arrested and sentenced to death. And then she goes and sits at the foot of the cross while he's hanging on it. And she watches him die. And then she shows up to the tomb expecting to mourn, expecting to be overwhelmed with grief. And his body is gone. She doesn't know what happened to it. She doesn't know who took it. In her mind, the furthest thing from her mind is that he's alive. That's the moment she's in. Some of you may know what it feels like. Others might not quite understand. And that's okay. That's a good thing. But all of us can see the reality that Mary is in. And in that moment, you stoop down and you see these angels. I was like, where did they come from? They weren't here just a second ago when Peter and John were here. Now they're all of a sudden, like, what is going on? And then they ask you a question. Why are you crying? What kind of question is that? Feeling the weight of the past week on you, of course you're crying. How could you not? Mary responds with, they have taken away my Lord. I wonder how we would respond. They have taken away my, what? My friends? They've taken away my dignity? My security? My identity? My confidence, my peace, my sense of belonging. Sometimes it feels like something important has been taken from us. That's where Mary is standing. It's the lowest and hardest moment of her life. And then she turns and sees another person. And he asks her the same thing. Why are you crying? And she doesn't understand that it's Jesus yet. She just thinks he's the gardener. And then Jesus says one word, Mary. And it clicks. She recognizes him. The very person that she thought was dead is alive right in front of her. Imagine that moment, being in the lowest, hardest, darkest moment of your life and Jesus calling you by name. And there's something interesting too. On the surface, it seems like Mary gets it wrong. He's not the gardener. And yet, at a deeper level, she doesn't know how right she is. Because what do gardeners do? They bring life out of the ground. They grow living things. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He brings new life out of the ground. He walks out of the tomb into life. In this moment, Jesus is beginning something new. God's new creation, a new life beyond. A world where darkness and death don't win. A world full of life, and life in the fullest sense of life. This is the first day of God's new creation where darkness and chaos are gone. And then Jesus says something amazing, really. I'm going to my Father and to your Father. The reality of the resurrection is Jesus is inviting us into the family of God. We just spent a month talking about how we are created in the image of God. We're created to be connected with him in relationship. We can have that relationship because of what Jesus did on the cross in his death and his resurrection, of him coming back to life. Now, here is what I want you to remember. Write this down. Sometimes Jesus is closer than we think. Sometimes Jesus is closer than we think. I want you to see that Jesus shows up in our lives even when we don't recognize him right away. Mary came to the tomb expecting death, and instead she encountered the living Jesus. And the same thing is true in our lives. In the middle of grief, confusion, brokenness, hardness, chaos, Jesus is there. We might not see him right away. We may even need other people to come into the room and point him out, saying, hey, here he is. Kind of like when you're looking for something and somebody has to come in and say, hey, if it was a snake, it would have bit you. And just like Mary, Jesus is inviting us into the family of God. He's calling us by name. And so the question for us is simple. How are we going to respond? Maybe for some of you, responding to Jesus is new. You've never had that thought before, and you don't even really know what it looks like. Tonight's a good night to ask. Maybe for some of you, responding to Jesus looks like continuing to follow him, continuing to trust him. Maybe for others, it's still when you're in those hard moments, paying attention to where he's showing up in your life. To end tonight, I want us to think about these two questions. The first is, you want to throw them up real quick? The first is, where might Jesus already be present in your life? And the second is, do you recognize him? I'm going to give you a second to think about those. I'm going to pray first, and then I'll let you kind of sit with those for our take two. And remember, our take two is a chance for us to reflect based on everything that we've talked about. What is the answer to these questions? It's a chance for you to journal. It's a chance for you to close your eyes. It's a chance for you to just sit in quiet. Please be respectful of those around you, that we're not distracting them. Would you pray with me now before we reflect? Jesus, you are so good. You show up in our lives in the hardest moments, in the best moments, in all moments. You are present with us. You want a relationship with us. You care so much about us that you didn't just leave us on our own, but you came down and entered into our lives to bring us to yourself, to bring us into deeper relationship with you. As we go through life, in the hard moments, in the good moments, in the in-between moments, would you show us how to look for you? Would you show us how to recognize you in our lives? Would you show us your presence in real ways? Thank you for loving us. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for pursuing us. Father, as we head to small groups, would you go with us? Would you cultivate relationship with you and with our group, with our leaders? We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.